world. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're staying in Boca Chica, Texas. Stack, unstack, stack, unstack. Bob Zimmerman is here. He keeps the website Behind the Black. He also keeps an eye on SpaceX's ambition to launch Starship atop Super Heavy. And yet, Bob, your report is both entertaining and alarming. The FAA and Fish and Wildlife have teamed up. This is like an all-star team of regulators. What have they decided, Bob? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. This is something I predicted in April and May of this year, when right after the first test orbital launch of Super Heavy Starship, the one that didn't succeed, but it was no surprise it didn't succeed. It was the first attempt. It was an engineering test. But right after that, SpaceX was trying to put itself back together and figure out what went wrong and get ready for another launch. And everyone was talking about, well, we're aiming for August. And I said then that no way, Jose, that even if SpaceX is ready, the federal government is going to block them. Every indication shows the federal government is working here to stymie SpaceX's achievements. And so here we are. So SpaceX announced on the first week in September that it was ready to launch. It had Space Super Heavy with Starship stacked on top of the launch pad, and Elon Musk tweeted that we are ready to launch. And guess what? They didn't launch. They haven't launched. It's now 6 weeks later, and they still haven't launched. They've been doing a lot of other work at Boca Chica having to do with various tank tests and preparation for additional rehearsals of this rocket. But nope, they have no permission to launch. The FAA has not issued a launch license. And it appears that the reason is that they have got to get approval from Fish and Wildlife. What Fish and Wildlife has to do with this is absurd. But nonetheless, they haven't given permission, especially since Fish and Wildlife is especially absurd because right after the launch, Fish and Wildlife admitted that the first test launch did no harm to anything outside of SpaceX's property. None at all. So why should they be delaying now makes no sense, except one reason, which is that there are people in the federal government that want to block SpaceX's achievement here. And I said in May that it's very likely that they won't get an approval before the end of the year. It looks very possible right now that could be the case. I also said in April that based on this situation, the way FAA and Fish and Wildlife and the federal government is treating Boca Chica, it's now become an unworkable launch site because they cannot launch on a regular basis quickly. Every single launch requires months and months and months and months of regulatory paperwork and approvals, and it's impossible you can use such a site. And so SpaceX is going to be in a rock and hard place. They need to get us. NASA needs this rocket and Starship to land on the moon, and they can't build it. SpaceX can't fly it because other parts of the federal government are against it, John.
We go from the disappointment of all the fans of SpaceX waiting for Starship to a strange story that Bob's going to help us understand. It's about a lawsuit by a company that's failing or troubled against Commerce and Defense. The number is impressive, $39 billion for theft. Now, Bob, why is this a space story? What's happened?
It's a complicated story. The company is named Legato. It originally was called LightSquared a few years ago, and it was trying to set up a 5G network in a certain spectrum. It had gotten an FCC approval for this spectrum. A 5G network for, you know, communications, for broadband, for internet access, cell phone use. And it was trying to do this back 5-6 years ago, and it was having trouble getting approvals because the military and a lot of other people were saying it was going to interfere with GPS. And so they never quite got an approval, but they've now filed a lawsuit now, years later. They're basically, the company's going bankrupt, it's failing, it's got big bills, it never could launch anything. So they've now filed this $39 billion lawsuit, as you say, John, that's an impressive number, against both the Commerce Department and the Defense Department. And their claim is that those departments stole the use of this communication spectrum from them. It was granted to them by the FCC, and yet the Defense and Commerce conspired to give that frequency to other uses. That's what their court suit is about. Now, when this happened 5-6 years ago, it made sense that they were being blocked because there were real questions that was going to interfere with GPS, and that might still be the case. But in the last 5-6 years, in stories that I just told, like with SpaceX, the federal government bureaucracy has shown itself to be very dishonest and corrupt, and it could very well be that they illegally stole this spectrum from LeGuido. Even if LeGuido's system would have interfered with GPS, the Commerce and Defense didn't have a right to steal the spectrum. And so that's where the court suit stands, and we'll have to see. It could be a combination of all these things. It could be corrupt federal agencies. It could be LeGuido was interfering, and the Defense and Commerce were legitimately trying to stop it. But either way, it just, once again, indicates you. I would have assumed this was a failed lawsuit of a failing company trying to just get money to save itself in the past. But now I consider the possibility very much so that the federal government bureaucracy is doing illegal things, John.
Well, taking on Commerce and Defense, that's impressive, Bob, at once.
Yes.
We go to China. China launches a lunar relay communications satellite next year. Why?
This is the second Quaiquo, I hope I'm pronouncing that correct, a lunar relay satellite. They launched one of these, and it was in lunar orbit when they did their first mission to the far side of the moon. And it was a relay satellite for communications. You can't communicate directly to the far side of the moon, so you need a relay satellite so you can communicate up to that, and then it sends the communications back to Earth. And so they now announced they're going to launch a second relay communications satellite to the moon to support their future unmanned missions, including a sample and return mission to the far side of the moon. This will also support two other missions that are going to go to the south pole of the moon. These are all unmanned missions. What's interesting about this is twofold. One, it's being proposed as the second satellite. It's an upgrade of the first, and it's being proposed as the first satellite of a constellation of communication satellites around the moon to support future Chinese projects and their lunar base, as well as to offer as a communications relay to anybody else that wants to use it. Of course, the U.S. won't be able to for legal reasons, but others might. And so that's the first thing. This is China very aggressively moving forward on its lunar plans. And that's the second point. China once again has demonstrated that the long-term plan for the exploration of the solar system that it released about 6-7 years ago, they're following through on it very, very carefully. It's a very rational and thought-out plan, and they're following through and implementing it with increasing speed. And this contrasts very strongly with the U.S., where our federal government is very schizophrenic, with one agency, NASA, trying to put together a long-term exploration plan, and, you know, it's kind of improvised and not really rational or thought out. Well, meanwhile, we have all these other federal agencies doing everything they can to stop SpaceX and prevent such a plan from happening. They're really working against the American people, these federal agencies. In fact, one of my commenters said, it's almost like someone is being paid to hold back China's competition. I wonder who that person is being paid, John. But it does indicate that we are disorganized and incoherent and therefore losing this race to explore the solar system.
It occurs to me, Bob, to ask a dumb question that I don't have an answer for, and I'm sure there isn't an answer. Does the Fish and Wildlife Service get involved in airports? Because they kill more birds and fish than anybody I can imagine.
Your point is exactly right. The Fish and Wildlife should have no business here.
Wait.
Or very minor business. It surely shouldn't be preventing a launch license from being issued. Absolutely not. And in fact, yes, there's the contradictions and discrepancies are profound, because they don't prevent launches out of Kennedy, and it's in the middle of a wildlife preserve.
But an airport in America is going to hit a bird. I guarantee it.
Once again, it's indicating that this is not to protect the environment. This is a political game to stymie SpaceX. That's really the bottom line.
Russians.
And think about it. That's the federal government acting to prevent Americans from achieving something for no good reason. That's what we have today, a federal government that acts to block American achievement. It's astonishing.
Let's go to Russia, where there is freedom in space. Okay, Bob?
I don't know about that, but all right.
Nauka's free to leak, and they're going to do a spacewalk because of the leak. Now, Nauka's a module they put up was a little delayed, I think about 20 years. But in any event, it tried to take over the space station when it first linked up. Since then, it's calmed down and it sprang a leak. And you report a spacewalk. To do what?
All right, so just to quickly review, Nauka, it was a module that was attached to ISS in 21, but you're absolutely right. It had a slight delay of about a quarter century in construction. It took Russia 25 years or so to build this thing. So they finally got it launched, and then when it first was attached, its thrust suddenly fired uncontrollably, and it literally almost flipped the station upside down. They got it under control and put it back in position. And Nauka's been functioning more or less, but it developed a leak in one of an outside radiator that works with the module. It started to leak coolant. Now that leak has stopped. We don't know why it stopped. Probably the Russians cut off coolant to it, but we don't know that for a fact. They haven't told us. They're very non-transparent. NASA and Russia have now rearranged the spacewalk schedule on ISS. The Americans were supposed to do two spacewalks, and then the Russians who do a spacewalk on October 25th. And that spacewalk is originally designed to put some experiments on the outside of the station and to install some communication equipment. But they're going to make that the next spacewalk on October 25th. They delayed the American walks. And the prime purpose of that Russian spacewalk is now going to be to inspect and photograph the backup radiator that leaked on Nauka to try to figure out where the leak's coming from and why. Once again, it's not leaking anymore, but they're trying to figure out what's going on. The stuff that's leaking is non-toxic, but they're worried that any of the material that came out of the leak could cause problems to internal systems over time. The material settles on equipment, and so that's part of the issue here. So that's where we stand. We don't know much. We don't know much, and we have to wait.
Universal Payload Interface. NASA looking for ideas from companies, and they'll reward them with money. But the puzzle, Bob, is NASA's not launching much. So what's this for? This is for satellites?
This is for everything. It's a very good idea. It's essentially create a – it's like having a standard electric plug in your country so that every piece of equipment that's made has a plug that plugs into the same thing. So you don't have to design something for every single appliance you buy. So in this case – payloads, for example, science payloads that get attached to a lander, for example, they all have different unique attachment points and connections. And what NASA wants companies to bid on is providing concepts for creating a standard way to attach payloads to test vehicles, such as even a balloon test, ILS balloon test, or suborbital vehicles, or testing in the lab, like vibration tests, that have the same connections so that you can quickly disconnect it from a test device and put it on the spacecraft quickly. And so they're asking companies to propose ideas, and they're going to pick up the three companies to win up to $650,000 to study concepts for building this system, a standard way to attach payloads, science instruments and satellites and so forth. And it's a good idea. It's nice. NASA's not trying to do it itself, which it's done in the past and didn't do a very good job of. It's asking private companies to do it, and that's a good thing.
Blue Origin has an announcement. Bob, I'll give you 10 seconds because that's all it's worth. What is it?
It's worth less than that, but they've announced another big project, but given us absolutely no details. They very clearly want to become a big player in the orbital tug industry and satellite servicing, but no one should believe anything that comes out of Blue Origin's mouth right now until they start flying.
You lavish them with seconds, Bob. Bob Zimmerman, who keeps the website Beyond the Black. We're going exploring. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Nash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.